Aloha and welcome back to another opponent preview version of the Ohana Packers Edition podcast. The podcast where two dudes from halfway across the world talk everything green and gold. I'm Mike and that's Iowa Joe. Today we're previewing the Packers week 10 game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Something like that.
Great radio. Joe, what's your first thoughts on the Steelers game this week?
It's another one of those games that when we were looking at it early on in the season, it was kind of a toss-up because while they're not a great team overall, they have good components to them. So Kenny Pickett isn't really great at the moment, but you know, they've got a guy like George Pickens and, you know, Najee Harris and guys like that that can make plays. So it still makes them dangerous. While on defense, you know, they may not be the greatest defense out there, but they've still got guys like TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick, which I didn't look at the injury report, so I don't know if he practiced today or not. So it just, they have guys that can be game changers, but overall they don't scare me.
That's fair. Yeah. This isn't even the team that we faced in the, obviously this isn't even to the level of the team we faced in Super Bowl 45. This is a, still partially rebooted version of the Steelers, which means they're still built off of a defensive identity, but yeah, they're not the primo version that they were that's going to get them to the Super Bowl or anything close to that. But like you said, dangerous opponent. But as we always do, we're going to start with Packers updates. Decent participation today. The one of the big bits is that Christian Watson with a full upper body, just everything on the upper body ailing him. First bit of great news, they confirmed he does not have a concussion, so he's not in protocol, and he, not great, but great that he was a full participant, but not great in the sense that he was listed with the back, but it's better than with, like, three or four different things that he was listed as being out with in the
game.
Well,
if he was listed as a full participant, that tells me it's not much of anything other than he landed wrong on the catch, so he just kind of, you know, he's maybe more bruised up than anything. So yeah, that doesn't necessarily concern me unless we go into like Thursday or Friday and now he's not practicing and yeah, stuff like that.
From the few videos that like Bill Huber and Wes Hodkowitz had, it looked like he was, you know, it was kind of a jog through practice, but it looked like he was moving around well. He didn't look like he was kind of saving himself or anything like that, which is not what you want to see in jog throughs. But after that, limited participants. Kenny Clark did practice today, which is a great sign after he left the game early on Sunday against the Rams with a shoulder. Rudy Ford was back at practice, but hopefully he takes his spot back from Jonathan Owens and not the Cyclone Anthony Johnson Jr. Elgton Jenkins and Aaron Jones, of course, are still limited participants, but I expect them to be for a while. DNPs today were Jair with a shoulder, not the back. So good and bad, but it's better that it's not, the back isn't even listed there. Yosh Nijman, unfortunately, was out with the back. John Runyon out with a neck injury. And Quay sat out with the groin, though I believe I read he at least did some rehab work. And the only other roster update is a practice squad one from earlier in the week. James Robinson was released from the practice squad, and Ellis Merriweather, who I believe was a not training camp, but a post-draft workout player, he has been brought back to the practice squad. So
I think he spent a little time with the Saints on their practice squad. So, now, this one is a little surprising in a way, but it kind of tells me that maybe James Robinson's, I think it was Achilles, hasn't fully healed. So, or maybe not, it's not fully healed, but he's not the player that he was before the injury. Otherwise, I don't see the reason why they would just up and cut him. Unless he's just an absolute bonehead and can't get the plays down for anything.
I think I think part that, and I think it also just points to that Aaron Jones is as healthy as he's gonna be at this point of the season, basically. So I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think you're wrong pointing that out. Yeah, but it's out.
Well, I mean, it's a practice squad spot. I mean, it's not like it's a 53-man roster. And, you know, it never hurts to have James, you know, a guy like James Robinson there if it's the same type of James Robinson that he was before he had that bad injury. So, you know, and they still haven't used any of his call-ups. So there would have been no reason not to hold him. I mean, especially over a guy, you know, who is a undrafted free agent out of, I think, Maine or Massachusetts, one of the two.
I know one of those Northeast schools.
Yeah. That really has no track record per se in the NFL. So it just, that's what makes me wonder if the injury Robinson had was a little bit more extensive, that it really zapped his, which it's not uncommon, you know. It happens. That's why I think a lot, even though it is just Aaron, not just Aaron Rodgers, but it is Aaron Rodgers that he's a big name. I think that's why a lot of people are really surprised with what Aaron's doing right now post surgery for his Achilles, because, you know, it's really rare for somebody like to be putting pressure on his foot and dropping back and making throws this soon.
He's not close. He's not close.
I'm not saying he's close, but I'm just saying that it's unusual at this stage in time that.
I'm obviously not a professional athlete and not a doctor or anything, but just kind of gauging with where he is. So, you know, like just under 2 months post-op, I know that like everyone's like, ooh, ah, and you know, he's doing dropbacks, but you watch him, he looks like an elephant plodding back on those dropbacks, and the velocity he's putting on his throws. Years old. Yeah. But the velocity he's getting, it's because he's torquing. It's all his upper body torque. So he won't be back unless they make the playoffs. And even then, it's like he's not going to move and he's still behind that shit O-line. So it's.
Well, no, and I'm not even saying that. I'm just. I'm saying that we're seeing that maybe James Robinson's injury has zapped his ability so far. But we're on the flip side, we're seeing a guy like Rodgers taking steps quicker than what most people would be doing. I'm not saying he's going to be back this year. I fully do not. If he comes back this year, then I'm going to call shenanigans on the whole injury anyway. And he was just doing something to screw over the Packers getting a first round pick, because there is, unless he like found some magical potion that repairs body parts quickly, there's no way that an Achilles is gonna, with that type of injury, he's gonna be back anytime soon. But we're digressing. I just was kind of more pointing out that I think it's more James Robinson's injury has zapped his ability than anything.
But yep, I mean, looking back on the game last week, we saw a fully activated and utilized Aaron Jones. So hopefully we see that moving forward. But on to the Steelers. And like you said, the Steelers, they're a dangerous team, but they're not a juggernaut team. They're 5-3, yes, but with a negative 30 point differential, which is very hard to do in this age of the NFL. That's a lot of hold on for dear life or come from behind narrow wins and a couple big blowout losses. So, you know, on offense, they're kind of like staring the Packers in the mirror, because I made the joke on Twitter that the Pittsburgh offense all season is Green Bay's offense from the Week 3 comeback against the Saints. They kind of just do nothing, maybe make a play here or there kind of thing. And then the fourth quarter, they're like the most efficient and proficient offense in the league or something like that. And so, and it's not.
Well, and we also have to throw out the stat that the Packers haven't won a game at Pittsburgh since 1970.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that's insane, because the 70s is when the Packers sucked. Phil Bengston was the coach. So,
well, according to what I was seeing, information wise, it was the last game that Bart Starr won.
That's dating itself.
Yeah.
So, yep, that just says it all. I don't even know what the hell it's called anymore. Heinz, I call it Heinz, is one of the toughest venues to play in. Just going lightly about it, I'll be surprised if Anders is given a shot at anything over like a 42 or a 45-yard field goal, especially, I forget, I think it's the south direction. Whichever end of the stadium is the one where it's open to the three rivers, that's the side where the winds are all funky and stuff like that. So I do think that LaFleur is going to have to be more aggressive this week in terms of going for it on fourth and shorts in plus territory, because despite how big of a leg Anders has, field goal kicking in Heinz has always been more in the risk than the reward category. But getting back to the Steelers offense, yeah, they've got big playability. That's kind of what's holding up their 18th DVOA ranking, but they are the worst offense in the league in terms of going three and out. They're going out three and out on near just short of 50%. I believe it's like 46 or 47% of their drives end in a three and out, which is honestly hard to do in this stage of the NFL. I know the Packers seem to be, like it happens a lot, but even they're not crossing 40%. So, something to keep an eye on. And well, and part
did
of that
you
is...
see the?
Go for it.
Well, I was going to say, did you see the Packers' defensive DOA? It's like I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it was like they were doing great in pass defense. But, you know, they were like top 10, top 12 or whatever in pass defense. But then when it came to run defense, they were like bottom 20.
Not surprising at all. That should surprise no one at any point of this juncture. So, yeah, it's Barry. It's the Barry experience.
So, yeah, that's why this the Pitt offense, while, like I said, overall it might not scare me, but, you know, if it's also going to depend on what the injuries are going into the game. You know, does Jaw play? Does Quay play? Does, you know, guys like that? Because the run, if they can feed Najee and, I'm blanking on what the other
Jalen Warren's name.
Yeah. If they feed them, then, you know, it kind of scares you a little bit, because we know how the Packers defense is. But I'm not really too overly scared of Kenny Pickett, minus, you know, if depending on Pickens and what's the
his
tight
mental
end
fortitude. Friermuth is on IR at least another week. So, yeah. So, yeah, Green Bay doesn't have to deal with him. So that's a big help, because especially if Quay is out, our tight end coverage is pretty shaky at the moment.
What about Sasquatch? The kid from Georgia.
He's in. Yeah. Washington, okay. Darnell.
I'm sorry. I called him Sasquatch because every time I see him run, he looks like he's lumbering.
He
like
does. But he's been, I mean, obviously with Freiermuth out, but he still only has two catches for 17 yards on the season. He hasn't really been utilized as a pass catcher, mostly as a run blocker, pass protector in their offensive scheme. So, because their O-line play has been really up and down. The bright spot for them is their first round pick. One Broderick Jones, who was my 1B option behind Lucas Van Ness and ahead of my 1C in Christian Gonzalez at the time Green Bay was picking. He has come on strong because their season opening starter at left tackle, Dan Moore, got injured. So Broderick's gotten like two out of three starts in the last three games or something like that, and he's looked pretty good for them. So my dad really likes him. So
he's a big boy, isn't he? He's like 6'7" or something like that, and 330.
Yeah, and he looks like he's acclimating himself to the NFL pretty well. So it's I think, you know, we kind of saw it the last time Green Bay played Pittsburgh, and a lot of the offensive line pieces are kind of the same. I think three of the five starters are the same. The right tackle, Okorafor, the left guard, I forget his name. And then the right guard is James Daniels, who used to play for the Bears, so we're used to seeing him. And center is Mason Cole. He was with the Cardinals and I think most recently the Vikings. And then Jones would be the left tackle. So the Green Bay front has to continue to kind of do what it's been doing the last couple of weeks, which is having success at the line of scrimmage and kind of harass Pickett, because, you know, Pickett's been able to pull rabbits out of hats at the end of games. But, you know, as much grief as Green Bay fans give Jordan Love, Pickett ain't much better if he is any better than Love.
No, but he's another one that has the ability like Jordan Love. You know, he just hasn't been able to refine anything. But you can tell he has the potential. And kind of like Jordan, you can tell Jordan has the potential, but it's refining that potential to turn it in, you know, turn into a, you know, a star. And, you know, I got to be honest, I really didn't, you know, take a look at quarterbacks and Pickett's class. And honestly, off the top of my head, I can't even remember all the quarterbacks that were in his class. But I did say that before the draft that the one pick that would make sense in the whole first round is Pittsburgh is going to take Pickett, just because he's a Pittsburgh guy. So that was the only thing that made sense. So it always made sense that it was going to be a feel good story, but really he's got an arm. He's got the ability. He's just, you know, kind of like the Packers right now. There's not really, they have a few more veterans than what the Packers do at the moment. So it's hurting them because they don't have, you know, the guys put around them. I hate to say it because I like Tomlin and that, but I have a feeling his whole scheme of even – I know he's a defensive guy, but I just – I have this thing that I think he's just – I don't want to say past his prime, but I think he's grown stale. I think maybe Pittsburgh's best chance is if they have a change. And I know the feeling because the other black and gold team that I know really well is going through the same issues, that things have just kind of grown stale. So, you know, like I said, I like Tomlin. My hope of hopes would be that if he did get fired from Pittsburgh, or that, you know, they mutually parted, you know, we would be able to sneak him in as our defensive coordinator. Just because that would be perfect, because he, you know, he knows his defense, he knows his, you know, he knows his ball, but it just, I don't think he's got it anymore in Pittsburgh.
My dad still likes him, and my dad's whole thing is that's the hard part about being a defensive head coach is that, you know, just like we've kind of grilled McCarthy towards the end and LaFleur now over not being able to get rid of or find the right defensive coordinator, it's even bigger for look at Salah. He had Mike LaFleur, fired him last year, and then now he's on Nathaniel Hackett, but we kind of know that was a recruiting trip. And Tomlin's kind of, you know, Tomlin had he had Bruce Arians at the beginning of his time in Pittsburgh as his offensive coordinator. And then he's had a couple like decent guys after that. But then Canada has run out of favor really quickly in Pittsburgh. And everyone said it was a mistake that he retained his spot this year. And then like the last few years of Roethlisberger, my dad was pissed at who their offensive coordinator was, because he goes, He's just Roethlisberger's golf buddy. But so talking of nepotism hires, that's the ultimate in nepotism hires. Well, so
I gotta say that at least Canada has some pretty good reflexes. Did you see the video going around?
It's because he's kind of a younger, he's not Bruce Arians' age. Yeah, he's like mid to late 40s or something. But yeah, that was funny. I know there's a lot of Steelers fans who are like, so close.
But yeah, really, just to get back on point, I just got to say that they're, other than like you've been saying, Mike, they're in the last parts of the game, I'm not really too worried overall of the offense, except for if they can get the run game going. Yeah.
And then just to get back to your quarterback point from last year's draft, it was pretty barren. So Pickett was the only first round quarterback. My eyes are a little worn out today, but I don't believe a quarterback was taken in the second round. The next one was Desmond friggin' Ridder, picked by the Falcons, and then Malik Willis by the Titans. And then after that was Bailey Zappi by the Patriots. And I think maybe the best quarterback after, between Pickett and the next guy, might honestly be Sam Howell with the Redskins or the Commanders. So it was a bad quarterback draft last year.
Trask last year, or was he the year before?
He might have been last year, but I haven't gotten to him yet. So that just kind of illustrates the point further. Eventually I'll probably find him, but I do think he was.
Oh, that's not a big deal. We're not even, we'll talk about them later in the year.
Yeah. But going, like you said, their offense, it's one of those, okay, you got to try to put him in the rearview mirror out of striking distance. The problem with that is this Pittsburgh defense. And like we kind of alluded to, it is not the steel curtain of years past, even from the like late 2000s, early 2010s with Polamalu and James Harrison and Lamar Woodley and names like that. But it's still a pretty stout unit, especially up front. It's their seventh in DVOA overall, and that's powered by their front seven, especially the three-headed monster of TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Cam Hayward, who combined to provide one of the biggest, you know, run stopping and pressure applying trios around the league. They have Wisconsin's own Keanu Benton, who's rounding into form, and he'll be probably starting this week with former Packer Montrevious Adams injured, who has found a home in Pittsburgh, much to the chagrin of a lot of Packer fans, that of course he finds his way on another roster. And I mean, go figure, if you're gonna be a wayward, you know, Adams was always a physically gifted defensive lineman, it would be Pittsburgh to kind of be a team to put a guy like that together and stuff. So Adams, yeah, has, I forget what he, like, I know PFF ratings aren't everything, but he's been rating really well by their, I think he's in like the low to mid 80s or something like that. And, you know, it just based on, you know, what my dad was saying and what a lot of the Pittsburgh writers were saying when he got injured a couple weeks ago, it was, they were like, oh, shoot, that's a pretty big blow to the defensive front. So,
well, that just goes to show that, you know, the Packers are cursed when it comes to third rounders, because I mean, he went on elsewhere and succeeded. Oren Burks went over to the 49ers and is having some success. I'm trying to think, was Beagle a third or fourth round pick?
Fourth round, I think.
Okay, well then that doesn't count, but still there's guys that are going, you know, that the Packers are taking in the third round that aren't doing shit for the Packers, but then they go elsewhere and start having some kind of success out of it.
Yep. So
that means DeGuire is going to be gone next year and turn into like an all, you know, the next Travis Kelce.
That he'll actually go to, because that was the rumor, right, is the Patriots liked him. So he'll actually go to the Patriots now, and he'll be the Belichick offense's new pet weapon kind of thing.
Maybe. But have you seen the rumors, though?
Oh, God.
The rumors are that
he'll get traded to.
Washington is really pushing, or the new ownership is really pushing to consider trading for Belichick.
I don't even know how that would work, because I'm pretty sure New England just extended Belichick like a week or two ago or something like that. So.
You're just, it's like a player. Yeah. You're trading the contract. Yeah.
But so I bring all that up because what did we say in our game review from the Rams game? I know the Rams offense was broken, but their defense was still, you know, a solid unit. And the Packers O-line looked as good as it has since the beginning of the season, you know, sans Bakhtiari, but Elton looked as healthy as he has. Myers had a strong game. I know Runyon graded out kind of bad, but and he's missed practice. So maybe Ryan gets a start, and Zach Tom looks pretty healthy as well. So, you know, you have Tom and Elton as healthy as they've looked since really the beginning of the season. And that's going to be a big key for this game, because if you're able to secure the one, and that'll be, you know, that'll be prime TV, is that, you know, I know that they moved TJ Watt around, but he's going to primarily line up as over the right tackle. So Zach Tom against TJ Watt, I know that like Jacob Westendorf says all the time, if his last name was Smith and he played at Northwestern, no one would give a crap that the Packers
passed
on him.
I've said that from the day that that draft happened.
And my thing with it is, like, everyone acts like he was such a sure thing. And I was like, if you just look at, like, Justice Mosqueda's draft review, it's a very, like, there's a lot of optimism, but there's a lot of, but he's got holes in his game. Like, I think he had 11 and a half sacks as a senior or whatever, but only two of them were against an old lineman. And I think one of them was against a guard or something like that. So he had some weird stats.
I wish I could pull up my old scouting report on him. Unfortunately, the website that I kept it all on went under and they sold it to somebody else. And now I've lost all of it, but you know, a lot of it, I said the same thing, that, you know, his sacks were kind of, you know, weakling sacks. You know, the big concern was injuries. He only had played the position for a couple of years and stuff like that. And I also said that at the time that the Packers made the trade and made the pick, edge wasn't the biggest need. Yeah, they needed another one, but it wasn't the biggest need in the world. You know, we just got done getting ransacked by the Falcons with Ladarius Gunther as our starting cornerback. You know, that was, and here's how much parity is in the NFL or in football, period. Kevin King was relatively healthy throughout his college career.
He didn't concussions really were his concern. Yeah.
Well, and the shoulder. He did have the shoulder thing. But other than that, there were really no major injuries with him throughout his college career. But yet when he came to the Packers, that's all he had was injury.
Lower body injuries, yeah.
TJ Watt, on the other hand, dealt with multiple injuries in college, but has been relatively, in a way, healthy in the NFL.
Yep. That's just the way them cards come out. So, but yep, we won't pick open wounds, but it, like I said, it'll just be fun to watch Zach Tom go up against another premier edge rusher. That's always something that I'm got my eye on, but Green Bay can't just worry about that. Alex Highsmith has become a prime pass rusher in his own right. And he is, you know, as things stand right now, it's either going to be a kind of hobbled Yosh or Rashid Walker on the left side, who's going to have to block Highsmith. So, you know, like I said, the Packers O-line played its best game of the season, to my thoughts, because I know they were healthy in week one, but that was Chicago, and Chicago's defense was a bag of soggy fries. So I think that, you know, coming off of a game where they, you know, they rushed for 180 yards and they still, you know, they rushed for 184 and still threw for almost 250. That's a good, you know, a nice balanced day. And so, you know, you got to be able to get some kind of movement, but also, you know, you want to be able to run the ball enough to keep Pittsburgh somewhat honest and off balance, because if you can protect, their secondary is questionable and shaky, because Minka Fitzpatrick is not expected to play in this game. He was a DNP in practice for the Steelers today. And the reports I've seen is that it's doubtful that he'll be available this week. They think he's at least a week away. So outside of that, the shining spot on the Steelers defense is Joey Porter Jr. And outside of that, they have former Spartan. What's his name? Lane, I think is his last name. I can't think of his first name right now, but he's one of their cornerbacks. Oh no, Levi Wallace. No, never mind. I think Lane is gone. So Levi Wallace is one of their quarterbacks.
Well, and then Patrick Peter, the ghost of Patrick Peterson out
and
there.
And Chandon Sullivan. So, yeah. You know, so Joey Porter Jr. has been a breath of fresh air for the Steelers. I know that he was a name that was floated for the Packers as a pick. My question with him
was, I loved him.
Great athlete, but I didn't trust Barry to use him right. That was always my concern. Whereas I always figured that, Tomlin is like a cover four guy. So I was like, once the Steelers picked him, obviously it's cool that he got picked by his dad's old team. But also I was like, yep, Tomlin knows exactly what to do with a cornerback like that. So Love's got to be ready for Porter, because Porter is a long rangy corner. So he'll be able to kind of stick in coverage, even potentially with Watson, depending on the route type. So, but basically everywhere else in this secondary, even against this Packers receiver core, the Packers are going to have advantages, I think, because like we said, it's 57-year-old Patrick Peterson, Levi Wallace, who was never that good, and Chandon Sullivan are their other top three cornerbacks. And then their safeties without Minkah Fitzpatrick are Keanu Neal, who's known more as a thumper than a coverage guy, and Damontae Kazee, who was formerly with the Falcons, and Pittsburgh picked up on waivers, I think. So pass protection is going to be a key. He only plays special teams. So he's their Dallin Levitt.
Well, so, he'd be a nice one to have if Rodgers was still on the team.
Oh boy. But yep, it's going to be a kind of one of those meat and potatoes kind of games where however good the Packers O-line plays, I think that's going to be how well Jordan Love plays, because if they can keep him upright and, I don't want to say comfy in the pocket, but, you know, secure and, you know, have some peace of mind, I think we're going to see Love have some success, because like I said, if he has time, there's going to be options against this Steelers secondary. So that's my big key for the game. Any thoughts from you, Joe, on this Steelers defense?
Other than, like I said earlier, and then like you just covered, outside of a couple of main guys, I'm not really overall scared of it. Like you have in the notes, as long as the Packers O-line gives Love time, then, you know, they should do pretty good. And hopefully Love doesn't really regress too much. You know, let's... Like the common thing that I always say is stack successes on it. So we saw a pretty good game out of Love against the Rams. If he can one up it again against the Steelers, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would be a really good, because like a lot of people are saying is like, okay, you beat the Rams who had no offense. Can you beat a team with a better defense and a, you know, Brett Rypien was a low of low bars to hurdle, but you know, the Steelers offense, it's not inept, but it's not great either. But if you can beat this team on the road, that would be a good building block for the Packers. So yep, it's another chance to learn more about this young Packers team and see what they've got in another tough road environment. I know that, you know, going into like the Raiders game, we said, hey, if they can block Max Crosby, but the Packers were not healthy on O-line at all going into that game. You know, Zach Tom was still playing with a bum knee, Elton, as we've seen over the last month leading into that Rams game, has not been healthy. So hopefully the Packers are able to stay and stay healthy on the O-line and buy some time for their offense. But
and the weather should be pretty good.
Yeah.
According to what I'm seeing.
Which is ironic.
Yeah.
Ironic. Coming out of Lambeau and going into Heinz, kind of going into the winter, you know, the late fall winter months. This is where Pittsburgh tends to get some funky weather. So it's kind of interesting that the weather is supposed to be nice this time of year. But I mean, any little bit of help the Packers can get is always nice. So,
well, according to AccuWeather, it's supposed to be a high of 50, partly cloudy, maybe a 10% chance of precipitation, a northwest wind of 7 mph with gusts of maybe 8 mph.
Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, it'll be a good game for the Packers offense. Like we said, they pulled themselves off the mat, and so let's see if they can continue to they can start, you know, a new trend in the upward direction this week. But you have any of your over-unders, yes, no's for this week, Joe?
Yeah, I had to real quick do the over-unders because I forgot all about them. So they're going to have a common thread, but, you know, it, like I've said before, there's common themes throughout the season because we know we can pretty much predict what's going to happen, you know, play call wise. We, you know, outside of last week's game with Jones, we're pretty sure that, you know, he's going to be good for at least 10 carries. So it's not hard to do the over-unders for that. I mean, when he's healthy. I mean, obviously, before that, he was hurt, so it didn't. But anyway, my first one is over under 1.5 TDs for Jordan Love.
I say over. If they're going to win, they're going to need over from him.
I'm going to say under, and it's going to be with the caveat that it's probably going to be because they're breaking out a few more of the trick plays. So there might be a couple jet sweeps, there might be whatever, just to, you know, keep a TJ Watt or Highsmith or Hayward out of Jordan's face.
That would be ideal.
So next one is 1.5 touchdowns for Aaron Jones.
Over. One rushing, one receiving.
Now, him, I will say the over on just because I think after last week, unless something catastrophic happens, they're going to lean on him again. And, you know, he's going to see the bulk of things. So that's what my call is. And then the last one I got is over under 1.5 sacks for Rashawn Gary.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say under because I'm hoping this will be Lucas's breakout game.
It'll be because based on how they've lined up, Rashawn's been getting a lot of snaps at left outside linebacker or left end, and Lucas is actually getting a lot of the right end. So he would, if everything holds up, he'll be facing off against Broderick Jones. So that'll be an interesting matchup to watch if that does come to bear on Sunday. I would like to see the two of them go at each other.
Now, wasn't Broderick the left tackle for Ohio State last year? Or was he
no,
the right tackle?
Broderick was the Georgia tackle.
What? Or Georgia tackle. Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
never
you're mind. Thinking of DeJuan.
Yeah.
DeJuan was the Ohio State. The Broderick is big. Johnson, Broderick is a big dude too. But yeah, DeJuan is the 6'9 or whatever, almost 370 guy or whatever the hell he is.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
No.
I was going to say, they played Ohio State and he absolutely destroyed their offensive line.
Oh, yeah. No, he took apart Paris Johnson. Yeah. So that was one of his most impressive games of his college career, was taking apart a top 10 NFL pick who has looked really good in the pros too.
Well, he did two of them. He also destroyed Peter Skoronski.
Yep, he might have sealed Skoronski's future at guard instead of tackle in the NFL. But Joe, anything else? I think we've covered this one as much as we're going to Inside and Out, but any last thoughts on this one before we head on out of here for tonight?
Not really. I mean, I don't want to be overly confident for it because it, you know, anything can happen and who knows with the Packers this year, but I'm just hoping for a good game, you know, obviously skewed to the Packers side of things, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yep. That's honestly it. Like I said, just keep looking a little better on offense. Like I said, it was nice that it wasn't pulling teeth to move the ball against the Rams, which, like I said, still has a competent to good defense. So hopefully, like I said, they're going into a tough road environment in Heinz Field. I know that someone's going to start yelling, but I still call it Heinz. I still call the Seahawks Stadium Quest Field. So I don't know. I don't care when they update
it. Isn't it like Three Rivers or something? Or was that
the Phillies? Three Rivers was their old stadium.
Okay.
Yeah. But I forget. It's some like crypto or insurance company or some crap like that now.
Go figure.
Yeah. But that'll do it for us on this opponent preview of the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Green Bay Packers in Pittsburgh this week in week 10 of the 2023 season. Please give us a follow on our Twitter accounts. I'm at Kawano Mike. Joe is at Iowa_Joe86. Follow the pod at Ohana_Packers. Please give our website a check out, ohanapackers.org. I will have Joe just had an article dropped today about 10 Packers who may or may not be with the team next year. I have one dropping today, Joe's dropped yesterday by the time you're hearing this. Mine is dropping today regarding play call structure and why LaFleur is in a hard spot with the youth on offense and how he has to make concessions without paring down his playbook too much. So that one's going to be a little bit of a mind bender, but if you're looking to get a little bit more insight into the behind the curtains in terms of calling an NFL offense, that's your sort of dummy's guide to it. But please follow the pod wherever on your favorite podcast app, Ohana Packers edition. Please give us a like and a subscribe. Whether you're liking or not liking what you're hearing, please leave comments. We enjoy the feedback regardless. It's how we try to improve ourselves, just like the Packers are. Joe, hopefully the Packers are able to get to 4-5 this week. It's the climb back to 500. But until our game review, we say mahalo and aloha.